Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
We had a great time in North Carolina. It's always I always hate missing, but it's always good to get away, and I got my nephew married, so praise the Lord for that. So hopefully we got her tied tight enough. I think we did. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Pastor Darrell's great. Yeah, I called him on my way home, and I said, "Well, I hope you done well in your first sermon that you've ever preached." No, I love Pastor Darrell, so he's a blessing to me and a spiritual father to me, and it's a good thing. Praise God. Amen. You guys had a good week? Amen. Praise God. Come over. Move over. Move over. Not going to get away with it. Go with me tonight. I want to talk for a little while. I just have a message in my heart. I just called unusual warfare. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, and you guys know these scriptures, I want to get down somewhere, but 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices," right? Lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, that word advantage right there in the Greek, it's actually, we could get the word actually from this of covet. That's an interesting way that that's actually said, because when you covet something, you want something by improper gain. Or you have an inordinate desire or lust for something that belongs to somebody else. Now, it says Satan has an inordinate lust to try to take stuff from you that don't belong to you. That's really powerful. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to take things from you that doesn't belong to you, that doesn't belong to him. He wants to take things from you that doesn't belong to him. Doesn't belong to him. So he said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant, or, you know, we're not, ignorant means a lack of information or to ignore information. We are not ignorant of his devices or his intentions or his schemes or his conclusions. The word is actually meaning to, it's the content of what a person thinks. We're not ignorant of the way that he, his schemes. We're not ignorant of the way that he thinks. We're not ignorant of his conclusions. And you know, the thing is the Apostle Paul is telling us that we can actually know how the enemy operates. You know, this is open book. Like, we can know how he operates. Because there's a systematic way that he does it. He first tries to deceive you. He has no access to your life until he can deceive you. And once he deceives you, he now has access into your life. It starts by deception. That's why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? It'll make you free and set you free." Truth is what it's all comes back to truth. And this has been on my heart because there is an unseen realm. A realm that you can't see. And I'm seeing this more and more, and I've been hearing this a lot recently with, I don't want to go too deep here, but there's stuff that's going on that people are trying to wrap up Christianity inside of false teachings. There's a lot of this stuff going on right now with influencers on TikTok and on Facebook that they wrap up New Age religion and wrap it up as Christianity. I'm hearing it more and more and more. One of the key words they use is manifesting. That's one of the key words you'll hear. I'm manifesting something. Now, I believe in manifesting. We need to manifest our true selves. We need to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. We need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We need to manifest these things. But it's like this thing has to do with money and manifesting money. And if I think about something enough, then it will happen to me. It's New Age stuff. I mean, it's happening. It's like, and you know, even with recently with the awful tragedy that happened this weekend in Michigan with the Mormon Church. But even Mormonism is not Christianity. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that Mormonism is Christianity because it's wrapped up to look like that. But Jesus is not the eternal Son of God. He became a God. He was the actual offspring of a... He's the actual offspring. According to Mormonism, is an offspring of a father, a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And that Lucifer and Jesus are actually brothers. Now, they will tell you, now listen, I believe, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not hating on anybody. That's not what I'm saying here. But this is the deal, is that they confess, they'll say that Jesus, that they'll confess Jesus. They will. But they have other things, they have other books that they consider as just as authoritative as Scripture. I'm telling you all this is not because I'm trying to teach you about world religions. I'm just trying to get you to understand something, that if you don't watch out, you and I can be deceived. We can be deceived. And that's why we have to stay steady and solid in Scripture and what the Bible tells us. That's very important for all of us to understand. So, where am I at? So, there is an unseen world. There is an unseen world that you and I are around, and we're bumping up against it all the time. Jesus said this in John 17. He said, he's praying for all of us. He said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you would keep them and guard them from the evil one. You and I are coming in contact with evil all the time. Now go with me to Acts 16. Let me just start over here. Acts 16. You guys all right? I'm talking about there's an unseen reality that you and I are, it's not just bad. Listen, when we talk about the unseen world, we're just not talking about the bad. There's also the good. There's angels, right? We have the unseen world that's around us. The Holy Spirit, right, is in an unseen world. So, Acts chapter 16, this is a very familiar set of scriptures. Acts chapter 16, let's look here, it says Paul and Silas, it's in verse 16. It said, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now, I want you to see a couple things here. Number one, notice they were going to prayer. It's a good thing, but the enemy is always around. Anytime something good starts happening, listen here, the enemy's going to try to come and try to cause distraction and confusion. Always. And we have to watch that. Now, this says it had this spirit of divination. The spirit of divination. Interesting word. Pneuma python. The actual Greek translation is python. It's pneuma, python, or a python spirit. This is what it means. A python spirit. Now, this is an echo. Now, when you think about a python, what's a python? It's a what? It's a snake. What's an echo, right? All the way back to Genesis chapter 3, right? With the serpent. So we're connecting here. This woman, this girl, right? They went to prayer, and all of a sudden they were met by this slave girl that was possessed with the spirit of Python, who brought her masters much gain by profit, by fortune telling. Verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now, isn't this interesting? The enemy was still speaking truth. His job, the enemy's job, he'll do whatever it takes to take you away from Christ, even by speaking right things in wrong ways. Deception. Just because something seems right and sounds right, and it is, that was a true statement. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That's truth, right? Satan will use any strategy he can to pull people away from Christ. He will use even the right words in the wrong ways. Now, let's read on here. Verse 18, and this she did for many days. Can you imagine? But Paul, he was greatly what? Greatly annoyed. Not just annoyed, but greatly annoyed. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now, what I want you to see here, because if you would just look at this, this looks like a situation, just a situation. This girl's coming around. This girl's around. She's speaking truth. Everybody's seeing a situation, but Paul's not seeing the situation. He's seeing the spirit realm. He's not seeing the situation. He's seeing behind the scenes. He's seeing the unseen world. And we have to live this way. We have to live where we are discerning and are aware of the spirit realm, not just demonic, but also the good. It's up to us to develop our discernment. Andy was telling me about 2 weeks ago, she said, I'm telling you, it's been on my heart. She said recently, I've been hearing the word discern, discern, discern. Now, I don't know what that means. She's not in here. I don't know if she's got any more revelation on it. But we have to develop our discernment. Amen. Because there is a realm that we can't see, and the enemy would love to take advantage. Now, so this unseen realm, but not unreal realm. Now, let me flip through these real quick. Daniel chapter 10, we get a glimpse in Daniel chapter 10 here in verses 12 and 13. Daniel starts praying. You guys all right? You guys good? Anybody cold? Need a latte? Cold? Well then, huh? Who's cold? Is there some cold ones in here? It's okay. Turn them up just a tad bit. Help them out, Seth. I'm going to get them all on my side tonight. All the ladies on my side tonight. This is good. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel sets his heart and begins to pray, right? Then he said to me, this angel that came and said, he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God. He started praying in Daniel chapter 10, you could read it. He said, your words were heard. From the very first day that you started praying, your words were heard. And I have come because of your what? My gosh. We could sit there for a long time. God hears you when you pray. And this is the angel, right? And the angel comes and says, listen, I'm coming for your words. Angelic activity is released through confession. Amen. Now, verse 13, look what he says. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, now this is an angel talking now, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This is not talking about a natural king. He's talking about a principality, a spirit that was ruling over a region, a territory. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, God had to send me some help. And he not only sent help, he sent Michael. That's the warring angel. He sent Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, this is a spiritual battle it's talking about here. And he said, look, the first day that you set your heart to pray, God heard it. I've come for your words, but I was withstood by a spirit. In the unseen realm, there was something that was trying to cause a blockage to happen from getting an answer to you, Daniel. There's an unseen world. There's an unseen world. Behind the scenes, God's messenger was on the way with the answer, but experienced a delay because of an invisible struggle, something you can't see. There's an unseen world. A world we cannot see that still is a reality. This is what the thought came to me over the last couple weeks on this, is that in America, we don't live aware of the spirit realm. I'm saying you. I'm saying in Western culture, we are driven more by our senses and what we see and feel and never give any thought to the adversary. And I'm not here to give the devil airtime. Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. But the Apostle Paul says, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of his devices. So it behooves us to really talk about it, folks, and to understand this, that there is a realm that we cannot see, and the Bible gives us the window into this thing, that we can actually start seeing this stuff. There is a realm you can't see. Now, you guys have heard this one in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's go over there real quick. I told Katie upstairs, I said, I'm not sure how this is all going to turn out, so just hopefully it comes together. Just follow me, because I give my notes to him up there. Amen. I want you to be aware and stay aware and discern the spirit. Discern the spirit realm. Okay? Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And shut the door. We sang that song years ago, right? Shut the door, keep out the devil. Right? Shut the door on the adversary. There's things that we can open. We can open up doors into our lives for the enemy to come in. It's true. Now, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse, let's start here in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God, which is Elisha here, the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place for which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him. And he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. Basically, what was going on, he was given his orders. He was given his orders, but the Lord, Yahweh, was talking to Elisha about what this king was talking about in the secret place. What in his board meetings. Elisha was hearing about it and talking about the strategies, and then what he would do, he'd say, hey, listen, man, they're going to come down here. Make sure that you're ready to go. So the king of Syria gets upset about this. He's greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he's in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, so this is Elisha's servant said, alas, my master, what are we going to do? So he answered, do not fear. Now notice what he says now. For those who are with us, there's just Elisha and the servant, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There is a world you can't see. There's no indication that Elisha actually saw this. It was the servant. But Elisha had saw it so many times, he had faith in it. He said, listen, I already know you're doing this, because those that are with us are more than those that are against them. I know that. Just open his eyes up so he can see this truth. You guys all right here? So this unseen reality. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:18. He said this. He said, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Check what he says now. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So there are things you see and things that are unseen that you can actually see. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So there are things you can't see. You believe in things you can't see all the time. There are things all around. Right now in the room, in this room right now, there are voices speaking. There's music playing. There's news being broadcast. But you can't hear any of it. It's there. Because it's traveling on unseen radio waves. So if you and I can just have an awareness and we start using the tools that God gives to us, the invisible becomes audible, the invisible becomes seen. This book right here allows you to see. This is why this has to become the staple. We don't want to be deceived. There's things that seem right and sound right, but we don't want to be deceived. And the truth is how we stay free. This thing gives us the window. The devil would love to convince us that he would love to convince us of stuff that's just totally not true. He would love for you to, there's people today that don't believe in the existence of Satan. There's people that believe that. Yesterday I spent 2 hours with Pastor John. I sat in the room and I was like, my gosh, this is such a privilege to listen to this guy talk. 82 years old and telling me stories, telling a story on my podcast just about Haiti and him getting called there and people getting delivered from demons. And I asked him, you couldn't be convinced, could you, Pastor John? You couldn't be convinced that the devil's not real. He just chuckled. He said, oh, no. He said, I've seen him. Told stories about it. The devil would love to convince us here in the United States that what we do is just innocent. There's a real enemy. It's time for you and I to wake up to that, especially in this season that we are in right now with the winds of the Spirit blowing in people's hearts. And I just talked to somebody today from Texas, and he said, no, you're not the only one. He said, I'm talking to pastors all across the nation. He said, everybody is sensing the same thing. They are seeing the same things. We are in a moment, a Kairos moment, and we have to discern because, listen, the enemy's not going to let just something like this happen. He's going to come with a deception. He's going to come to try to cause confusion. That's going to happen. You guys all right here? So this warfare worldview is very prominent in Scripture. And it's up to you and I to really understand that. I'm just trying to look see where I want to go here real quick. There's a lot. See, I got a lot. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says this one. It says, be sober, right? Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Let's stop right there. It says, be sober and be vigilant. The two reasons the enemy is devouring, will devour us or will devour people, is a lack of self-control and not watchful. Lack of self-control and not watchful. And we need discernment. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because notice it's your adversary. It's not just my adversary. It's not your neighbor's adversary. It's your adversary, the devil. It's your adversary walks about like a roaring lion. And he's seeking. He just can't just devour. He's seeking someone to devour. Who's he devouring? The ones that don't have self-control and the ones that are not watchful. That's a loaded right there, and we could walk out of here and be blessed by that and just put that into practice. Self-control and a lack of being watchful. So it's up to you and I to understand this. So we're not alone. So we have battles, right? We have battles. Now, I'm going to throw this one up, and then we're going to segue into this last part. So 1 John chapter 4, we quoted this a minute ago when we were praying. Beloved, right, agapetos, one of my favorite words right there in the whole Bible, agapetos. It means favorite, God's favorite. It means favorite of God, beloved, loved. He carries me around in his wallet. That's how I translate the word agapetos. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now notice what he says. Which you have heard was coming, but he's already here. This was written, 1 John was written probably somewhere around 90. I believe in a late writing of John and 1 John, but about 60, 68 on John, 1 John just a little bit later. But this way he said, go back there real quick. He said, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist, we're always looking for a person. It's a teaching. I'll throw this out there for you, but you won't even see the word Antichrist in the book of Revelation. You don't see it anywhere. Check me. Fact check. Not now, but fact check me. You don't see the word Antichrist anywhere in the book of Revelation. The only where you see the word Antichrist is in 1 John, I think 3 John. Because the Antichrist is anything that's Antichrist. And according to this, it's false teachings. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. Verse 4, and you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. What? Overcome who? The false teachings, the evil spirits, right, that's manipulating the unseen world. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So you and I can overcome the unseen world because of who is living on the inside of you. And this is the point as I segue. Jesus lives on the inside of you, so his way of doing things, right, will actually bring us victory. His way of doing things will bring us victory. So listen, when we start talking about unusual warfare, you know, listen, love and peace and joy and all these things. This is the way that Jesus operates. And if we do it, we will continue to overcome the world. We'll carry the victory of Christ because that's what the word overcome means. It means to carry the victory. So it says, greater is he, right? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You carry the victory. You carry the victory of Christ. And this word overcome actually is in a tense that's an ongoing result of the finished action. So to overcome once and continually, over and over and over and over again. That's what the tense means. See, he says that. You are of God, little children, and you will continually carry my victory over and over and over and over and over because greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. And when you and I are doing things God's way, guess what starts to happen? We start to actually have victory in our lives. So let's look at some things, and I'm going to run through these quick, unusual warfare. Because we always hear about prayer, and these are all fine. But I want to look at some unusual ways that warfare happens. The first one we find actually in 2 Kings. We was there in 2 Kings. You're there actually in 2 Kings chapter 18 or chapter 6, verses 18 through 23. We'll carry on this story. Remember about Elisha? Servant, open his eyes. Well, let's look here. Verse 18, so when the Syrians came down to him, this is the enemy, trying to attack Israel. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, Elisha said to them, this is not the way. So we got all these people blind now. This whole army's blind. And now, all of a sudden, he's like the cattle herder. Yeah, this way. This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria, which is where the people of God are, the children of Israel are, he's leading the enemy right into the camp of the Israelites. Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and that they were inside Samaria. Uh-oh. Could you imagine? Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, you want us to kill him? You want us to kill him? But he answered and said, you shall not kill them. But would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their masters. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Unusual warfare, first and foremost, is this: the way of warfare through compassion, through feeding your enemy, through kindness. It's an unusual warfare. You feed your enemy. Well, isn't that something what Jesus said? What Jesus say? He said, bless those that curse you. Right? Do good to those that despitefully use you. It's unusual warfare. Unusual warfare. In Proverbs 25:22, it's echoed in Romans 12:20 also. The Apostle Paul echoes this one, but we're going to read it here in the New King James, and then we'll read another passage. For you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord... Go back up to verse 21, sorry. If you can do that, I'm so sorry. I think I did give you that, just 22, but I think I needed it. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. So you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, we always think about that word, coals of fire. Oh, coals of fire. I'm going to put coals of fire. Just kill him with kindness. The word here, actually, what that means, that heap coals of fire, is actually, that's an Eastern culture thing, that you actually are bringing them to repentance. They would carry coals of fire upon their head. So he said, your actual kindness will actually shift something in somebody that will actually cause them to come to know Christ, to come to know the way. And the Lord will reward you. Now look what the passion says. You can go back to verse 21 and 22. I like this. It's the Passion version. Just is your enemy hungry? Buy him lunch. Win him over with your kindness. Your surprising generosity will awaken his conscience, and God will reward you with favor. The things that are your enemies, right? Are whatever. We don't respond with hate. That's not the way that we operate. Right? We respond by the other way. The way we do warfare is actually different. And what we do is we actually feed our enemies. We actually bless those that curse us. We actually do these things, and actually it will awaken in their conscience that, you know what? Man, God's real. This is different. This is not the way that I'm actually, this is not the way that I see things go on in our world. So love actually disarms the enemy. Demonic forces thrive on hatred, division, and bitterness. Come on, somebody. We need this. I'm talking about politics are full of it. Right? We got to quit making excuses for stuff. The enemy wants to hide out. There's an unseen world. And listen, if we have hate and division, we got to stop that. This is a moment for us as the church, the body of Christ, to rise up and lead in this moment. But if not, you'll open up doors. Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about this one. When we think about Sodom, We always think about the perversion of homosexuality. The Bible actually gives us actually deeper insight than that. Now, I think I gave it to you, Ezekiel, I think it was. Is it Ezekiel 16? Look at this. Sodom's sins were what? What was Sodom's sins? Pride, gluttony, laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. Opened the door up for the adversary. And then in verse 50 it says this. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out as you have seen. What was actually the door was pride, gluttony, and not helping people. No generosity. And when that opened the door up, it opened the door up for the adversary to come in, and all the other sins just followed it. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? So unusual warfare is actually compassion and kindness. And it's like throwing water on a fire. Every time you respond with love, you suffocate the enemy's flames. We read 2 Corinthians 2, right? 2 Corinthians 2:11, we read that. You know, lest Satan should get advantage of us. Not that one. I'm going to skip that. That's a good one, though. But it's a really good one. But matter of fact, just put it up there. We'll read that. It's a good one. For God is the one who provides seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will what? So there's an awakening because of generosity. But I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians real quick. Verse 11, it says right there, lest Satan should get advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. If you read right above it, you know what it's talking about? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And then back it up to verse 10. Back it up. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. If indeed I have forgiven anything, I've forgiven the one for your sake in the presence of Christ. Verse 11, lest Satan should get advantage of you. Satan could get advantage of us because of unforgiveness. So if we're not walking in love and compassion and kindness, right, we can't engage in spiritual warfare. We become targets for the enemy. All right, the next thing is this. Hurry. The next one is, The next one is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And let's just go, to verse 20 and 24 for the sake of time. Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, had come down against Israel. They didn't know what to do. They said, but you know what? Our eyes are on you, God. Prophet stands up. He says, listen, you don't have to fight. This fight doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. All right? And then in verse 20, it says this. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had came against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when they started praising, the enemy turned on himself. When you and I are praising, it's unconventional, unusual warfare is actually to praise in the middle of all this. When you're going through the hardest battles of your life, you've got to praise. I promise you, I have done this so many times. When you are going through the hardest battles of your life, that is the moment that your shout has to be the loudest. It's the moment that your hands get raised the farthest in the air. It's the time that you take the lap. It's the time that you dance before the Lord. It's not when things are going good. It's actually in the battle. Right? Whew. We see here an unusual warfare. Unusual warfare. Paul and Silas was in stocks in Acts chapter 16. We don't have time here. This is the way we actually see Paul and Silas. This is the way we see the Paul and Silas story. They were in stocks, and you know, this is the way we see it. I mean, this is what we see. That's right, the jailbreak. You know, this is what we see. Smiling. No. If you'll go and read there in Acts 16, it says they were beaten with rods many times over and over and over. And actually what they would do, they would beat them so much that actually, could you imagine, it would not only bruise them, it would tear their skin, break ribs. And then the Bible says they put them in stocks. Now, I'm going to put you up here real quick. This is the next thing. Can you bring that down? Sorry. I mean, that's small. I don't know. But you can kind of see. If you can shorten that up for me, that'll be awesome. I don't know how you do it. But anyway, you can see. There you go. Oh, yeah. So they would put their feet inside of these things. And then they would chain their hands. So they were literally like this. Or bending over. Could you imagine the tension and pressure? Could you imagine? Their backs, they were beat already. Their backs were bruised, torn apart, broken ribs. And they get placed in stocks. Some even say they may have actually had the stocks. Actually, they spread their legs like this. Like that. Now, this gives us a different, it's not the first picture. You know, it's not the jailbreak. This is bad. And in Acts 16, it says that Paul and Silas began to pray and to sing praises unto God. Right? Unusual warfare. The Bible says the jail shook, broke loose. Amen. It's amazing what worship does. Put your finger, take your thumb and blot me out. Blot me out with your thumb. Blot me out. Right? Blot me out. Just keep that. Okay. Keep doing it. See, the Bible says, oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Worship changes our perspective. Small things held close to the eye blocks out the big things. Small things held close to the eye blocks. I'm bigger than your thumb. But the small things will get in the way of seeing the big thing when it's held close to you. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I'm making Him bigger than any of my circumstances. That's what praise does for you and I. Praise elevates God, magnifies God. God inhabits the praises of His people. He comes down and dwells in the midst of all this. All of a sudden, His kingdom is established. His throne is established. His power is established. Right in the middle of praise. Yep. That's why we do it. We're not singing karaoke. We're praising. Because why? There's things in my life that try to block Him out. You guys all right here? That's what I need, a lens. Right? I get my phone, right? And I get my camera. And all of a sudden, I can take and I can zoom up back there on Seth. Because what seems far away can actually become close to me when I magnify it. See, many times God seems far away. All you need to do is praise. And once you start praising, what seems far away starts coming close to you. Man, that's good, isn't it? That helped me. That helped me. All right, hurry. The next unconventional way. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. This is an unusual warfare. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. Now, horns here are a representation of authority or power, okay? Authority or enemy power here is what it's representing. The horns are the enemy power, okay? Authorities, nations that are trying, and powers that's gripping and coming against the people of God. Then my eyes, I looked, and there were four. Now, four here is a number here. It means it's a global effort. Four corners of the earth, right? It's a global effort. So this is a spiritual battle against the people of God. Verse 19. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered and said, these are the horns that have scattered, come against Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Verse 20. Then the Lord showed me what? Four craftsmen. Four nurses. Four office workers. Four business owners. Four salesmen. Four stay-at-home moms. He showed me four craftsmen and said, what are these coming to do? And he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head, but the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. What was God? Unusual warfare is actually God has equipped you with gifts, talents, and abilities to go do warfare in the marketplace. Your job is just not a place you go and actually are making money. You're in full-time ministry. It's your job. God's got you there for a reason. You're there to scatter the horns. The enemy's power. God uses your gifts, your talents, your professions, doing what God has called you to do, whatever it is. Do what you do with the touch of God on your life. The grace of God that's on your life will begin to go and manifest into the world. You guys all right here? You are light, you are salt, and God wants to use you and your life to bring deliverance, to bring help, and to bring people to Christ. I'm saying to you this. People, we are in a Kairos moment. People's hearts are soft and people are ready to respond. I'm telling you. It's almost like you could just say Jesus and people would just... People's hearts are soft right now. It's a Kairos moment. There's an awareness. This is what there's an awareness of the Lord that's right now. There's awareness of Him. Now, I don't know how long that lasts, but we need to capitalize. One of the ways we capitalize is by letting God use us where we're at. And man, I'm telling you what, you start breaking the powers of darkness. You know when you walk into a place, light comes? Do you understand when you just literally just, you don't see it. We can't see it. But when we walk in, light starts coming. Demons start to tremble. Oh my gosh. This is why he doesn't want you to figure out who you are. Because the minute you figure out who you are, he's had a bad day. Let me give you this final one. Final two real quick. Revelation 12:11 says this. The enemy's defeat. Actually, let's put it up there. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved their lives even to the death. So the testimony is a weapon to help yourself and to others. The testimony. Your testimony. David in 1 Samuel 17. He goes up to Goliath. Remember? Goliath cussing and cursing the armies of God, the children of God. And he said, listen, the same God, David ran to him, and he said, the same God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He said, he'll take you down too, you uncircumcised Philistine. He recalled a testimony, and the minute that he recalled the testimony, faith started to come. Testimony is an unusual weapon that God uses to set you free and to set others free. Why? Because testimony deposits the seed of a previous breakthrough into the soil of your life for a present breakthrough. If God, the word testimony in the Hebrew means to do again. So when you give the testimony, you're reminding yourself, He done it for me then, He'll do it for me now. When you speak it out to somebody else, you're telling them, if God did it for me, He can do it for you. It's helping people. And it's a weapon of warfare. The enemy is overcome, right? By the blood and the word of our testimony. Powerful. I wrote this down. When we forget about what God's done, we talk about it less. When we talk about it less, we expect it less. And if our expectation of the supernatural declines, it disappears from our lives altogether. The devil hates it when you talk about God's working. Hates it. Stirs people to believe. It changes the lens of people, how they see God, what God can do. It destroys lies. Faith arises. And then the last thing is this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, look what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by these prophecies you may wage the good warfare. You and I are supposed to wage warfare with the prophecies that's been spoken over our lives. What do you mean prophecy? It's the heart and mind of God for your life. It's when God comes and encourages you and He speaks words of life over you and gives you promises. We are to do warfare with those things. You ever had somebody speak a word to you? And you've not saw it come to pass. But it doesn't mean it's not so. You do warfare with it. I wrote this down. Imagine a soldier calling in an airstrike. He doesn't create the power. He declares the coordinates so heaven's firepower lands exactly where it's needed. Prophecy calls in God's airstrike on the enemy's camp. It's powerful. You say, well, man, I don't have any prophecy. God never spoke to you. Oh, brothers and sisters. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus, Revelations 19:11. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So anything that Jesus has done in his finished work is a prophetic word for you and for me. So if you need healing in your body, you need to raise up and declare that by his stripes, I am healed. If you need deliverance or you need help in your finance, you need to stand and decree and declare that my God will supply all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Declaring prophecy over your life. If you've had a word over your life and it's not come to pass yet, get that thing, get the book back out and start reading it again. Read the prophecies. Read what God's told you, what God has said to you. Bring it back to life because you'll wage a good warfare with that. Amen? So those are ways of unusual warfare. Now, we know we got prayer and declaring the name of Jesus and, right, declaring the word. But these are just some interesting ways through Scripture of engaging that we don't really think about. Amen. Got that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, I'm telling you what, God wants to put a weapon in your hand. You know, I was thinking about that today as I close, but Ephesians 6:10, it says the sword of the Spirit, right, which is the Word of God. And just pay attention. Really, I want to encourage everybody in the room. The enemy's going to come try to distract you in this time because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling distractions in my own life, okay? So the enemy's trying to come and distract us. It's important. And it's important for us to press in right now, press into prayer, press into word, press into these things, because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking very clearly right now in this season for the body of Christ, giving us some real good marching orders. So press in, right? I'm feeling the distractions. I've had to beat away some things, right? So just push in, because the enemy doesn't want you to have a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because what happens is, pay attention to your dreams right now. Pay attention to what you're hearing. Pay attention. Pay attention right now more than ever. I'm just telling you, I feel it in my heart and I felt it in my heart. Pay attention to the realm of the Spirit. Pay attention to things. But when the Lord gives you something or highlights something to you, you need to write it down because he's going to try to give you a sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. Or the sword that the Spirit uses. So what he does is he illuminates things from Scripture, gives you a prophetic word in order to give you a sword to fight with. The way that he does it, he puts a sword in your hand through illuminating Scripture, giving you revelation from God's word, whatever it is, a prophecy, he puts a sword in your hand. It's the sword that the Spirit uses, which is the Word of God. And you can use it. You can do a good warfare with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you again so much on this Wednesday night that we can come. And Lord, we can be encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God. Thank you, Lord God, tonight that you've provided unusual weapons, unusual warfare for us. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be people that would pay attention to the unseen realm, that we would pay attention, Lord God, to the realm of the Spirit, that we would discern, Lord God, what you're doing in this hour and this time. I thank you for these faithful folks. Thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we are so thankful for what you're doing in our world. We thank you, Lord God, that people are being convicted. People are being drawn to the cross. People are being drawn to you. I celebrate what you're doing, Lord God, in this hour and this time. And I celebrate what you're doing in my life, oh God, because you're doing a good work in me. He that begun a good work in me will complete it. Lord, I believe today that you will complete the good work in my life. And Lord, I believe it for every person in this room that you'll complete the work. So God, I pray that we'll be spiritually astute, that we would not be ignorant of the devices and schemes of the devil. And Lord, I thank you that we already have victory. I don't fight for it, I fight from it. I don't fight for victory, I fight from victory. It's sweatless work, oh God. It's sweatless participation. Not even work, it's participation. Because God, I fight from your victory. Jesus, you defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. So Lord, today I thank you for that. But we overcome and we carry your victory. We carry your victory every day. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.